Good afternoon. This is Bike Sport Radio. You're here on killradio.org featuring the sport of competitive cycling, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need.
All right, there's the bell, number 663 going by.
We have live sounds going on now from the Urban Cyclocross.
53 James Downs. PAA. Remax Realty coming through here. Number flapping.
653 James Downs.
We're also going to move into a special guest we've got today from PCAP. That's the Prostate and Cancer Awareness Project, Robert Hess. And also we're going to have race reports from the Urban Cyclocross and a little information from the Fat Tire Festival, mountain bike festival in Kernville. Some track race results and a few minutes of interviews as well here on Bike Sport Radio. All right, let's move on to race results from last weekend and the last two weekends here in Southern California's race results.
Race results for Southern California. The LA Velodrome Omnium Racing took place at the track, lavelodrome.org, on September 26th. Picking up 6th place in the Omnium in the Men's Pro and Category 123s, Justin Williams for Rock Racing. 5th place going to South Bay Wheelman's Danny Healy. 4th place BMC Racing's Austin Carroll. 3rd place Momentum Cycling's Dan Vogt. 2nd place Trek Livestrong's Taylor Finney. And your winner from Rock Racing, Ian Moore. In the Category 4 and 5 Omnium, picking up 5th place, Bike Religion's Colin Berry. In 4th place, riding unattached, Dan Green. In 3rd place, Marcos Corona. 2nd place, Major Motion's Ben Berdiger. And your winner from UCLA, Joseph Patterson. And continuing the LA Velodrome Omnium results for September 26th for the women. Picking up 7th place, Rocky Mount's Madeline Godby. 6th place going to Swarm's Megan Dean. 5th place going to Capital Velo's Kimberly Edwards. 4th place, Sugar Cycle's Shelby Reynolds. In 3rd place, FCS Cycling's Corinne Rivera. 2nd place going to Heather Jackson. And your winner from Momentum Cycling, Christine Barron. For the Omnium results in the juniors, 15 through 18. 4th place, South Bay Wheelman's Will Lenkite. 3rd place, Bike Religion's Colin Berry. In 2nd place, Major Motion's Ben Berdiger. And your winner from South Bay Wheelman, Bobby Unverzagt. The juniors 10 to 14 young group Omnium winner was Team Show Air's Rachel Cross. And in the Masters Omnium results, Adobo Velo's Arden Aradang picking up 4th place. 3rd place, Sugar CRM's Rick Adams. 2nd place, Team Helen's John Rondash. And your winner from Amgen Giant, John Walsh. Off-season criterium racing going on also in the Masters 30+, Category 1s, 2s, and 3s. X-Men's Bill Harris. 2nd place, Ironfly's Jonathan Davey. And your winner from Edge Racing's Steven Gregorios. For the beginner men's Category 5s, 3rd place, Johnny Weir. 2nd place, John Gregorio. And your winner, Dennis Andrews. And in the men's category 1s, 2s, and 3s, off-season criterium, 5th place, Steven Gregorios from Edge Racing. 4th place, SC Velo's Andrew Bosco. 3rd place, also SC Velo, James Esser. 2nd place, California Pools Racing's Gregory Coburn. And your winner from South Bay Wheelman, Danny Healy. In the off-season criteria men's category 4, X Strategies, Lee Muse in 3rd place. 2nd place going to Team Possibilities, Abel Rendon. And your winner, Bart Clifford. On Sunday, October 11th, Urban Cyclocross Round 2, brought to you by Back on Track Productions and hosted by Palos Verdes Grupo Ciclismo, took place. The Elite and Open Men's Race, 8th place, 11-year-old Bike Palace Back on Track's Duncan Reed. 7th place, Showair's Mike Baldovino. 6th place, also Showair, Frank Sisson. In 5th place, Dirk Van Olden. 4th place, Bike Palace Back on Track's Brad House. 3rd place, from Showair, John Furlong. 2nd place, Now MS Society's Joseph Patterson. And your winner, from Cello Pacific, Brent Prenslow. For the Urban Cyclocross Women's Open and Category 123s, in 3rd place, Annette Padilla from Cello Pacific. 2nd place, Kahala Lagrange's Amy Huttner. And your winner, Now MS Society's Julie Guthrie. The Urban Cyclocross Category 3s and 4s, October 11th, 3rd place, going to PAA Remax Realty's James Downs. 2nd place, Joe Barr Racing's Gregory Osborne. And your winner from Kahala Lagrange, Robert Langone. In the junior men's 10 through 14, state champion Bike Palace Back on Track's Duncan Reed was your winner. Juniors 15 to 18, picking up 3rd place, Bike Palace Back on Track's Eric Rail. In 2nd place, South Bay Wheelman's Bobby Unverzacht. And your winner, also from Bike Palace Back on Track, Ricky Riddell. That's the junior men's 15 through 18. The Urban Cyclocross, October 11th, continued with the Masters 45s. 5th place, Montrose Bike Shop's Stephen Smith. 4th place, Showair's John Furlong. 3rd place, Shimano's Jesse Gascon. 2nd place, going to Bicycle Ranch, Richard Baylor. And your winner from Palos Verdes GC, Dave Nodiak. In the Masters 55 Plus, Rads, Bob Conklin was your winner out there. Picking up 2nd place, San Diego Cyclovet's Gary DeVos. The single speeds, in single speeds, Category 3, 1, 2, 3. 3rd place, going to Showair's Michael Baldovino. 2nd place, Rock and Roads, Frank Sisson. And your winner from Cello Pacific, Thad Sparrow. The single speed B, men's winner, E.G. Yamamoto, riding for Bike Palace Back on Track. And in the Urban Cyclocross, women's category 3s and 4s, picking up 4th place, Cello Pacific's Annette Padilla. In 3rd place, Showair's Barbara Furlong. And in 2nd place, Now MS Society's Julie Guthrie. And your winner from Higher Cadence Cycling Club, Rachel Schmidt. Congratulations to all those winners on October 11th. Urban Cyclocross. And the Urban Cyclocross will continue on October 25th in Orange County. The current series leaders, and we've got yellow socks for our series leaders. They get to wear the series leader socks by Sock Guy. Your series leader in the women's Cat 3s, 4s, Julie Guthrie, riding for Now MS Society. In the women's Cat 1s through 3s, your series leader, Cello Pacific's Annette Padilla. In the single speed Bs, your series leader, E.G. Yamamoto. In the single speed A, your series leader is Rock and Roads' Frank Sisson. Men's Category 4 series leader, Palos Verdes Grupo Ciclismo's Greg Popovich. In the men's intermediate, Cat 3s and 4s, your series leader currently, Kahala Lagrange's Robert Langone. In the men's pro and open category, your series leader, Cello Pacific's Brent Prenslow. Masters 55 Plus series leader, Rads Racing's Bob Conklin. In the Masters 50 Plus, your series leader, Palos Verdes Grupo Ciclismo's Bruce Temesi. Masters 45 Plus series leader, Bicycle Ranch's Richard Baylor. In the Masters 40 Plus, your series leader currently is Cello Pacific's Mark Campaign. Masters 35 Plus, series leader, VRC's Robert Wayman. And in the Juniors 15 to 18, your series leader, Ricky Riddell from Bike Palace Back on Track. And in the Juniors 10 to 14, series leader is Bike Palace Back on Track's Duncan Reed. Congratulations again to all our series leaders. You get to wear those yellow socks out there at the next Urban Cyclocross.
Yeah, Duncan Reed. Now, Duncan Reed is like 11 years old, and this guy raced with a men's pro at the Urban Cyclocross on October 11th in Palos Verdes. So that's our results for right now. Race using winding down, so we don't have a lot of racing going on. We do have upcoming events. We'll get into those in a few minutes. Let's go to some of the sounds we got a chance to enjoy in some interviews and sounds of the Urban Cyclocross from October 11th. And we also had a fun thing we attended called the Kernville Fat Tire Festival. We'll hear some sounds on that too later.
All right, here we are coming up to our leaders soon. Rider number 238 going by there in the single speed. That's Mike Baldovino riding for Show Air. Sonance, Thad Sparrow on the course in the lead, I believe, still. He is on the hillside. There he is running with his bike, Cello Pacific. Thad Sparrow, single speed leader on the course at the Urban Cyclocross Series. Yeah. Giggling away, here we are at Urban Cyclocross number 2 on Bike Sport Radio, and I'm here with...
Rachel Schmidt.
Rachel Schmidt, welcome to the race. Here with what team?
X Strategy.
X Strategy. Tell us about your team and what brings you out here today.
X Strategy was started with a bunch of guys, actually, that were racing on crits, and they grabbed a couple of us girls. It's a varied group. Only two of us are doing cross at this time.
All right.
Trying to draw in the rest of the team, though. We'll see.
Cool. So you do mostly road and mountain bike races?
Mostly
and,
road, yeah. I've done
mostly
some.
Road only, okay. Okay, and there's some cyclocross racers, too.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, cyclocross is a blast. So you're racing the women's race coming up next, huh? So
yes.
Go ahead and get warmed up. All right.
Yes.
Cool.
All
right. How do you find out more about X Strategy?
I think if you go online, it's actually a company that does computer programming.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's the title sponsor, X Strategy.
Team 6 slash X Strategy team.
Okay. Very cool. All right. Good luck with your race today.
Thank you.
All right, here's your winner in the single speed. Cello Pacific, Thad Sparrow. Thad Sparrow, great race in the single speed. Mike Baldovino finishing right there behind him. And we got a couple more riders on the course right now at the Urban Cyclocross Series. Congratulations, Thad Sparrow, picking up the single speed win today. Bike Sport Radio is here with the winner of the second Urban Cyclocross, Brent Prinslow. And it's always a hard race for you, no matter who's out here. So you chase us all down. Tell us about the race and everything.
It's a tricky course, a lot of looseness out there, a lot of gravel and some tricky rocks to watch out for.
Different, huh?
Yeah, so a couple of good run-ups there. It was nice. Had a good time.
Little tree section down there, zigzags, slowed the mountain bikers down, and awesome. So, what'd you think of the water up there? We don't usually have water up there.
No, I was a little surprised.
This time of year, so.
Yeah, that was interesting. Good thing we could just jump over it, and it was nice to see some good barrier sections out there.
So you're getting ready for Bend, Oregon, coming up in December.
Yep.
National Championships. You're racing like every weekend, multiple races, huh?
I have been, yeah. Just trying to build the fitness all the way to December.
Cool. Looks like you're on your way. All right, thanks for racing, Brent.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
All right, still on one lap to go. One lap to go. One to go. 661 cruising by. That's Benjamin Cornell riding for Now MS Society. And there's our women's leader. One lap to go. 779. Julie Guthrie, Now MS. One to go. And she's our leader on the course. One lap to go for rider number 668. Webcore Dirk Van Olden. And the men's Cat 3s and 4s, one to go. 6:54, one lap to go. Nicholas Schweitzer, Sacramento Golden Wheelman, one to go. And here is a women's rider on the course. At one lap to go, Amy Huttner, one to go.
Go, Amy! Fellow Club Lagrange, Westwood. One to go.
Hi, we're here today with the winner of the single speed A category at the Urban Cyclocross race in Palos Verdes. Dad, tell us how the race was.
The race was good. It was a rough start, pretty sandy course in a lot of the corners and stuff, but it was a lot of fun. Everybody seemed like they had a good time.
Yeah, and are you looking forward to doing the rest of the series?
Definitely. This is my first race of the Urban Cyclocross series in a couple of years. So I'm glad to be back and looking forward to more.
Yeah, we remember when you used to bunny hop.
Yeah. That was a few years ago. My knees and back can't quite take that anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for coming out today.
Thanks for having us.
We're here today with the women's 1-2-3 podium, the entire podium at the Urban Cyclocross race in Palos Verdes on October 11th. First, let's talk to the winner. How was the race for you today?
Nice temperature, lots of thick dirt, and some great competition, great people, good hot dogs, a lot of fun.
Well, thank you, Julie. And in second place, we have
Amy.
I had to look at the numbers on the podium. And what did you think of the race today?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. The new course was more technical, a lot of loose dirt, and got off to a bad first lap, so chasing Julie the rest of the time, but it was a lot of fun.
And in third place, we have Annette.
I like the course, too. I thought it was very technical, lots of loose terrain, really challenging, good effort.
Now, how many of you women did two races today? All three of you?
No, just
you did.
I thought that'd give me an advantage, but not enough, apparently.
So the people who did two races were Annette and Julie. And you still got up back here up here on the podium. So thank you again for coming out today, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us. Thanks.
All right. We're at our youth race here, the Urban Cyclocross. Frankie Reed just finishing up there. 378. And you got first place. Joe Marco Popovich, 5 years old, and here comes, all right, finishing up right there. Good job, the youth race. This is rider number 369, finishing up right there. Ow. Did three laps, all right, Kristen did three laps. Good job. That's Kristen Ramirez. Frankie, JoJo Marks finishing up there. The youth race, 10 and under. And here's the older youth, 364. Is that our 9-year-olds out there? Ian Irish, I think, out there too. Ian Irish, 364. Jake the Snake, Balaam. There he is, finishing up right there. 364. 363, Ian Irish, and 364, Jake the Snake, finishing up in the youth race. 9 years old. All right, the youth race. Right here at the Urban Cyclocross Series, and you'll be featured on Bike Sport Radio. Check out bikesportradio.us. Here with John Furlong. We're doing Real Racers on Bike Sport Radio. You just raced the 45s, and you're going to do the Open Pros. And tell us how the first race went. You were duking out for a while there, and...
Well, it was a pretty competitive field. I got to battle with you for a lap, Brad, and then me and a couple other guys got to dice it up. But it was a good course, good and challenging, lots of tough off-camber stuff.
Yeah, all right. You got some good swag out there, and now you're going to do a second race, huh? What are you racing now?
The Open Pro.
Woo! Brent Prenslow. We've got a state champion out there also, and all right, you're going to do a second race. Well, that's great, great. Good luck to you today.
Thank you very much, and you too.
Thanks, John.
That was John Furlong at the Urban Cyclocross Series, event number 2, October 11th. All right, let's move along into our upcoming events. Upcoming events on October 11th. We have the Urban Cyclocross interviews and results there. October 25th is our next race. That's going to be in Orange County, brought to you by Cher Mountain Bike Club. Cher Mountain Bike Club is the official beneficiary of this race. And they'll be hosting the event right there in Silverado Canyon. That's down near Lake Irvine. Full details at SoCalCyclocross.org. And that'll be round 3 in the Urban Cyclocross. If you haven't seen Cyclocross, you got to check this out. It's really exciting to watch as a spectator. Riders having to compete over a short circuit course, multiple laps, carrying their bikes, struggling over barriers, and the whole bit. Very exciting racing. Cyclocross. Check it out. And portions of the Urban Cyclocross will again be featured on Bike Sport Radio. So that's coming up October 25th. Coming up on October 31st, Alta Vista Events brings you Not for Pansies. This is a awesome and tough mountain bike and cyclocross race. You can use mountain bike or cyclocross bike. 2 hours of racing on a 5.5 mile course. Can you handle it? It's 6 laps of a 5.5 mile course. Awesome racing in California City. That's coming up October 31st, brought to you by Alta Vista Events. Full details on that can be found at AltaVistaEvents.com. Again, that's mountain bikes and cyclocross. Experts, novices, beginners. Also, masters categories, ages broken down by 30 plus, 40 plus, 50 plus, and 60 plus, men and women. AltaVistaEvents.com. On Sunday, November 1st, part of the Triple Crown Series, the Fat Tire Classic at Mount San Antonio College. That's in Walnut, California. Again, this is cross-country off-road mountain bike racing, part of the Triple Crown Series. That's Sunday, November 1st. SCVelo.com for full details on that Triple Crown Series 2009. And you don't want to miss the 25 Hours of Halloween mountain bike race. This is team and individual competition off-road in the dirt at the Dirt Club in the Santa Barbara, Los Olivos area. And yes, it is 25 hours, not 24 hours. This is the first ever 25 hours of mountain biking, brought to you by Ride SB. Grassroots racing, costume contest, pumpkin carving, trick-or-treating, movies Saturday night, and a fantastic venue that's not even at high altitude, so you can actually breathe the air. You're not more than 1,000 feet above sea level, I believe. This is October 30th through November 1st at the Stump Grinder Dirt Club in Los Olivos, California. 805-896-0673 is the phone number, and you can get details online at ridesb.com. So don't miss that. There's going to be a pancake breakfast and also live music at the 25 Hours of Halloween at the Dirt Club.
Bike race. Racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio Live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
All right, so that was our little commercial for Bike Sport Radio. The Bike Sport Radio generally focuses on racing, and occasionally we get into some other things. We had a chance to attend this really cool event called the Fat Tire Festival in Kernville. This was a mountain bike event. 3 days of awesome mountain bike riding up in the Sierras, and we had a chance to talk to some of the riders and movers and shakers out there. They also had some after-ride festivities, such as the bike limbo and things like that. So here's some footage from the limbo at the Kernville Festival.
All right, so now we're at the limbo, Kernville, and here's Debbie Helms going under the... Woo! Where's the applause? These are the after-ride festivities here at the Kernville Fat Tire Classic on Bike Sport Radio. Here's our next competitor going on the limbo on his Ibis. Yeah.
Woo! Last 2 years we weren't here.
Yeah.
It would be like
the bike limbo is
What is the bike limbo? You have to actually ride your bike underneath this thing, right?
There are 2 feet, 12 inches.
Wow. Should be interesting later. So this guy's going on his bike backwards.
You missed it.
All right, so we're in the qualifications now on the after ride festivities at the Kernville Fat Tire Classic.
Bike limbo. Now, this was it was actually a limbo you had to do on your bike. It's kind of cool to watch. Debbie Helms there, she was actually the winner of the bike limbo. And here's a chance to chat with one of our guides on the ride. We tried to record some other sounds during the Kernville Fat Tire Classic, but when you're up in the woods and there's nothing but redwoods and cedar and ferns, we turned our recorder on, and guess what? Silence. So how do you do that on the radio? So anyways, here's one of the guides. We had a chance to chat with him.
Bike Sport Radio here at the Kernville Classic. One of the rest stops. And this is the cattle trail we're doing today. I'm out of breath. Dave's over there looking at me going, what's this guy doing? You're on the radio. 9,000 feet? Is that where we're at? This is one of the... Are you one of the ride kind of leaders or guides? Or?
What's that? What's the height right here?
Romy is.
I'm not sure what the elevation is here.
Yeah. Romy. Yes, sir. I do a radio show called Bikes for Radio. Want to talk? How's it going today?
It's going awesome. How are you doing?
Good.
Having a good time?
Yeah, I'm having a blast. So I don't have any idea what altitude we're at, but I'm out of breath.
You know, I'm not sure of the altitude here. I know a couple of guys have altitude. 8460, you heard
8460. Wow. And you're hearing this on Bike Sport Radio. Check it out at bikesportradio.us. Thanks, Romy.
You're welcome.
All right, that was Romy. Romy is one of the guides at the Kernville Fat Tire Classic. So, like I said, we tried to do some recordings up there, but when you're in the middle of the woods, there's not much to hear. It was really quiet out there. So if you want to do something with your mountain bike and you don't feel like racing, check out the annual Kernville Fat Tire Classic. All right, so Bikes for Radio. Talk about racing from bike riders, bike racing, and what you need to race bikes. We are moving along now into our special guest here in the studio. We've got Prostate Cancer Awareness Project, Robert Hess. How you doing, Robert?
Oh, Brad, great. Thanks. Thanks for inviting me here. Delighted to be here today.
Oh, you're welcome. So tell me a little bit about PCAP for short, Prostate Cancer Awareness Project.
Okay, well, there always has to be a connection with bicycling, so... full disclosure, I can say up front that I'm a longtime bicyclist and only a tenure resident of California. But I can say I managed in 2007 to be lucky enough to be the SoCal state champ in 200 meter match sprints on the track. So that is
cool.
That is my one piece of fame, I guess, in bicycling, and Sprinter. May well stand forever as my only piece.
Is that right? Wow.
But you asked me about prostate cancer, and so the Prostate Cancer Awareness Project is something that an organization I created 3 years ago as a result of my personal experience with prostate cancer. Excuse me. And I created this because... I was diagnosed through, as what I call an accidental diagnosis. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer when, according to the standard rules, the way we look at prostate cancer, I should not have had prostate cancer and I should have been okay. And as a result of that, after my treatment, I started talking to some of my colleagues and who are generally about 20 years younger than I am, and mostly because I went to business school out here in UCLA about 10 years ago, and I was about 20 years older than the guys in my class. So my California network tends to be about 20 years younger than I am. But as I talk to them...
That's why you look 20 years younger than you are, too.
Well, yeah, maybe they keep me that way. So as I talk with them, I realize that they're in the prime risk zone for aggressive prostate cancer, but almost none of them were tracking this thing called PSA. It's the best test currently for prostate cancer. It stands for prostate-specific antigen. So they either weren't testing it, or they weren't. Their doctors were doing the test, but they actually weren't tracking the number. And so the key to surviving prostate cancer is to find out if you have the aggressive form of this cancer early enough that it can be treated. So the Prostate Cancer Awareness Project came into being with the sole mission of making sure that no man ever gets caught with a post-metastatic prostate cancer diagnosis. And what that just means is diagnosed when it's no longer treatable.
Right, right, okay. And we here at Kill Radio are here to represent the underrepresented. And there's definitely a lot of talk out there about all forms of cancer, you know, lung cancer, testicular cancer, breast cancer, you name it. They all get all of the media publicity, but prostate cancer doesn't. So it's I would say it's definitely underrepresented, and you're on your way to changing that out there in the world, which is, I think, a great thing you're doing, Robert.
Thanks, and thanks, Brad. It is, it's kind of what I call an orphan disease, and I haven't figured exactly why, you know, women are so willing to talk about breast cancer, and guys are, of course, willing to talk about breast cancer for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah, I think it has to do with, it's a personal thing, you know, men are willing to talk about certain things so far, but I guess when it comes to talking about vulnerabilities of their sexual or personal parts, that can be a little bit sensitive, perhaps a little overly sensitive, and we shouldn't ignore it.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on. You know, when it comes to things that deal with our, quote, equipment, unquote, you know, we're not willing to talk about it unless it's those great new carbon pieces we purchase for our bicycle.
Right, or Viagra or something like that, you know, that's something that helps you perform better. We're more than willing to talk about better performance, but you know, when it's something that indicates a vulnerability, definitely. So you've created this involved with bicycling events because you're a bicyclist. And any particular events? What tell us about the events you're kind of working to bring awareness to.
Yeah, great question. Well, of course, the bicycling is a focus because, number one, I'm a long-term bicyclist, a long-time bicyclist. I love it. Number two, it's a great sport for fitness, even if you're not a competitive racer. You know, there are 33 million plus people in the U.S. that ride bicycles, and prostate cancer prevention is a key, exercise and nutrition is a key to prostate or any cancer prevention. So one of the connections to bicycling is to help people change their lifestyle. So they can add exercise, and if they add exercise, they're going to see some sort of just kind of a natural change in their dietary habits, and that's going to help in prevention. The second thing is connections to independent bicycle stores and bicycle shops. So many of those shops connect directly and at a personal level with cyclists. This is a great vehicle for carrying the message to men, hey, if you're 35 and older, one of the things you need to do along with the annual check of your bicycle is the annual check of your PSA. So our hope is to connect with these bicycle shop owners and help them or have them become part of our vehicle for getting this message.
So we're coming into the end of the bicycle racing season here. It's October, November's right around the corner. I'm assuming that there are plans for next year, future plans. Do you have anything big going on in the works or something to build awareness?
Well, we have a couple of things that we do every year. Two of them are in Virginia. One of them is in California, and one that we think is going to be a great project to go nationwide that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But next April will be the our annual Velodrome Challenge, and it's going to be over in the Encino Velodrome. Right now we have mid-April as the date, and it's going to be held in conjunction with a swap meet. We're actually going to make it kind of a great family day because, you know, cancer prevention is really a, you know, a family event, not just an individual guy thing. In Virginia, we actually have a two-day annual event that will take place in July next year. It's a two-day ride along the Skyline Drive in Virginia, which is the northern part of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And that ride is about 94 miles and about 8,400 feet of climbing.
Woo!
And so we've done that 2 years in a row, and that's a good place to stretch your climbing legs. And next October in Virginia, just up in the George Washington National Forest, we are going to have the first Reddish Knob Hill Climb. And this is kind of the equivalent of Virginia's Mount Ventoux. And if you live in the East Coast, especially in Virginia, Reddish Knob is kind of an icon. The climb is 11.1 miles, okay, gaining about 3,000 feet. The first couple of miles are pretty flat, and then it's almost the unending climb at about 6.6% for the next for about the next 9 miles, one turn after the other.
Switchbacks?
Not so much switchbacks, but turns, constant turns.
Long turns.
You'd think, you know, that something couldn't go up that much, but it does. It's mostly in the trees until you pop out at the summit. Hmm. And so for anybody that's listening, it's in Virginia, check out reddishknobchallenge.com.
Oh, great. What time of year is that going to be?
It's going to be in October. It's going to be in mid-October 2010. Tour of the Skyline Drive is going to be the 10th of July 2010. April will be 2010 will be our Velodrome Challenge here. And the next thing is
EncinoVelodrome.com.
Yep.
.org.
EncinoVelodrome.org.
EncinoVelodrome.org for those of you listeners out there.
And the next thing, you know, we hope that's going to be really exciting are, Brad, are the conversations that you and I are having about Masters Cycling League.
The Masters Cycling League, yes. That's a team competition that goes on throughout Southern California. Now, we have a couple of promoters who want to expand it to Northern California next year. So the Masters Cycling League is all focused on the team concept. Teams sign up through the league. They compete in existing races out there in the Masters 35 age. All prizes go to teams only, and there's a team award at the end of the season. The league runs about six races, and they've been initially criterium circuit races, things that are entertaining for spectators and family and friends, because the Masters 35 tend to be in that age group where they have family that are you're just getting their family started or whatever. They may have kids they want to bring to the race, so these types of races are suitable for spectators. And the whole idea of the team concept is one that's always been very near and dear to my heart. I love the team events, and I like to really focus on the team concept. So that's how the Masters Cycle League came about. And it would be wonderful to see if that perhaps we could name the Prostate Cancer Awareness Project as one of the beneficiaries of the league as it grows and expands into Northern Cal and potentially nationwide.
Well, Brad, it's a you know, great idea, and you know, we're really excited to be part of this. And one of the things that, of course, that as an organization we want to do is to carry our early detection, early treatment, you know, message not only to individuals but out to companies, okay? Because if we can reach companies with this, then they can diffuse that message down through the rest of their personnel in the company. So it's kind of the use of the network effect. And I believe that this the teams, the concept that you're thinking about, would lend it well, lend itself well to companies and organizations supporting teams. And so at long last, we could maybe get, you know, a little serious organizational support for this wonderful sport of bicycling and, you know, kind of create, well, I guess maybe semi-pro. is this too much? You know, we're going to create the farm team for, for our U.S. pro teams.
I don't know. Not at all. It's like I said, this is Kill Radio where we represent the underrepresented. I'd love to see that. People turn on the network radio and listen to the latest team, what team's racing against what team in bicycling, instead of turning around and listening to, you know, those other sports out there that get a lot of media, like basketball, baseball, football. Cycling needs more media. So.
Exactly, and we'd as we were sitting here before we came on air, talking a little bit about maybe adding track events, cycling events to this, where it's kind of in a small venue, and families and friends could come and watch. And we'd even talked about doing some sort of a survey to see what the marketplace out there thinks about this. So anyone that's out there and listening, I guess you probably have an email address that, if they're interested in this, they could contact you, and a survey could be developed, and we could see who's interested.
Yes, absolutely. We could bring in team sports such as the pursuit or time trial team, or track racing, for additional points that these teams could score during the league season in the Masters Cycle League. Marketing at backontrackproductions.com if you want to send us your ideas, or call the studio. Or watch for that survey to come out perhaps soon for Southern California's and soon-to-be Northern California's Masters Cycle League. Got something about the Tour de USA in here. Tell us about that, Robert.
The Tour de USA, well, this is something we're doing next summer. And I originally intended to ride my bicycle across the country to raise awareness for prostate cancer. I just had that knee surgery, and so I figured having a knee surgery in October might be a little too early.
Yeah, I walked into the studio. I know about the knee surgery. pushing up those stairs there. So
what I'm going to do is next August I'll be riding from Manhattan Beach up to Sacramento, California, then to Washington, D.C. and back to raise awareness for prostate cancer, but on my motorcycle. As opposed to my bicycle. So I'm thinking that'll, it might even get more press. We're going to try and go from Harley dealership to Harley dealership. So if anybody out there is a motorcyclist, go to tourdeusa.org, and you can sign up for information about the event.
Can you join one of the legs somewhere? Like, let's say you live locally in Sacramento and you want to join you on part of the ride.
Brad, great question. Exactly. What we're trying to do is just get as many people to be part of the ride as are able. Think of it kind of like a little Pony Express ride. Right. I'm going to do the entire route, but if people could come in and ride just 25 or 50 miles with us, that would be great. And the goal is at the end of each day to stop at a Harley dealership and have a little event with the local media, hopefully TV, radio, just raise awareness, get people talking about this.
All right, Harley Davidson, sponsored by Harley Davidson.
We'd love to have him as a sponsor. Well, we haven't signed
up
yet.
Yeah, we'll see. Tour de USA. Okay, and what time of year is that again?
This is going to, I'll be leaving probably around the 2nd or 3rd of August.
Okay.
And it's all keyed around the annual Harley-Davidson meeting at Sturgis.
Oh.
So I'll be leaving here up to the State House at Sacramento and then depart in time to be at Sturgis for that event. And then Sturgis now has a program where you can put a commemorative paver on the main street of the town. So we are going to dedicate a paver on that street to all the guys that have died from prostate cancer in the past.
Wow. So you're gonna build this paver. It's going to have your PCAP logo on it and everything. And will you?
Exactly. So it'll go down, and hopefully somewhere out there we're going to find a sponsor. That will help us for this. I think the total cost for this is about $750.
Oh, that's not bad. Not bad at all. Such a deal. $750 to be engraved in the concrete forever. For a good cause, too. So speaking of the cause, so what's the message that you want to get out there with PCAP? The biggest, most important message is to man. What do you want to get out there for the message then?
Well, I think the message really is in, for guys that are in 40, there is this big controversy right now within the medical community about the value of PSA testing. And there are those, one school of thought says, well, we're actually testing too many people, and that's resulting in many unneeded surgeries or unneeded treatment with adverse effects on men. And as I, as a prostate cancer, I look at this and I, you know, there's some data points that stick out to me. In 1971, President John F. Kennedy declared the war on cancer. Since that declaration, over 1.2 million guys have died from prostate cancer, and we still lose 29,000 men every year to this disease. So I don't believe it's the fact that, you know, that men are diagnosed, too many men are diagnosed, it's the treatment decision that's made once they're diagnosed. So what's really important is that, number one, you find out if you're one of those unlucky men, the one in six guys, you know, that's going to actually have prostate cancer. So one in six is that number.
One in six. Listeners, that's a lot. And I know we got listeners out there. That's one in six.
But then what's important is you need to know if you're one of, if you have an aggressive form of the disease. So there are some prostate cancers that are slow growing, and there are others that are aggressive, and those are the ones that are going to kill you. And you need to find out whether, you know, which bucket that you're in. If you're one of the unlucky ones, you know, am I really unlucky and I have the aggressive form, or am I kind of unlucky and, you know, I'm going to survive? So our message is to men is that you need to test, but once you test, you need to pay very careful attention to the treatment decision that you make. And so if we have, I don't know if we have any more time to talk about our new iPhone app, My Bike Info.
Yeah, we've got some more time here. The obviously, there's going to be funding for this project. And one of our next questions, obviously, is what's on the horizon there? I know you've got some technical skills yourself. You've created an application out there. Tell us about that a little bit and how it benefits PCAP.
Okay. Well, well, as you probably know, my company is an IT solutions provider and software development company, and so as in an attempt to self-fund our program, and essentially our program is creating bicycling events that carry this, you know, this this message about the need for early detection. So we created an iPhone app called My Bike Info. And actually, while I'm talking, I can even show you this.
We have an iPhone right here in the studio.
Right here in the studio. Let me see if I can get it to boot up. So there's the app, and what this does, it is designed to track all of the mechanical information and the fitting information for any number of bicycles. So it will track all the measurements of example, the frame.
Right, I'm looking at the iPhone. The radio, you can't see this on radio, but I'm looking at the screen here. We've got Elite T-Class. That's your track class data.
That's my time trial bike.
Sirota, Fuji, and something else called Dave. Sirota, I guess, is one of your bikes. Fuji is another one of your bikes, and you track your data per bicycle. Then,
exactly.
Right? So as you scroll over, let me hit Fuji here. When you scroll over Fuji, I see body measurements, bicycle measurements, saddle, drive chain, 53% done. Is that like a maintenance schedule or something? Or?
Well, it actually has a page to track maintenance, but what it's really designed for is,
cool.
Especially for competitive cyclists, you know, like time trials, they know that their exact positioning on that bicycle can have a significant effect on, you know, their power output and their efficiency. So what this does, what My Bike Info does, is it tracks every one of those dimensions. You know, your upper body angle, the length of your stem, the mm-hmm. angle of your legs.
Right, I see it on here. I see serial number. I see production year. I see a lot of data.
Exactly. And so by the time you get done, you have all of the precise fitting positioning data for your bike right there in your pocket. And this works on iPod Touch as well. You've got it in your pocket. And plus, you can take pictures and attach them to each file. So what you really have is kind of road ID for your bike. Should it ever get stolen, you have all the information. You know, its serial number.
Femur length also.
Femur length.
Body measurements. That's in case your femur gets stolen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Waist height, shoulder width. Wow.
We spent some time studying every single fit system that we could find, and we included all of those data fields. So whether you're using Wobble Knot or Retool or Bike Fit or you know, just your local fitter, you can capture all that information.
Sirota Fit Kit, the BG Body Geometry Fit, there's a number of them out there. Yeah.
Exactly. There's lots of great programs out there, and it will capture it all. But then we put even more in there, Brett. Even more, if that wasn't enough, you know, this is almost like there's one of those TV commercials. Go to the bottom and hit that icon for RSS.
RSS News, yeah, it's loading. It's taking a long time to load. It must be a big application.
it's good old AT&T.
Like info, Inside Cycling, Velo News.
So those are RSS feeds, and, you know, as all the internet people know, those are push.
29,000 men.
Yep, that's our website.
Cool.
So those are push feeds so that you you can go in and set up to receive the latest and greatest information.
Wow.
From all of your sites. And now, does Bike Radio, does it have an RSS feed on its website?
Bike Radio does not. I'll have to talk to you about that after the show.
Okay, because we could set that up. And then whenever you want to get the news from Pro Cycling or
right.
Velo News,
BBC,
you just open up
NPR,
open up
My
Bike Info, and you have the best RSS feeder that's available through iTunes right there in that app.
The world at your fingertips, everybody out there listening. That's My Bike app. How do we find out about that? There's a website then?
Yeah, great question, Brad. There is. It has its own website. It's called mybikeinfo.com. And Taylor Finney just tweeted this morning out to his 12,500 followers. He's, I think, now got My Bike Info on his iBike or iPod Touch or his iPhone or iPod Touch.
Taylor Finney uses it. It's got to be good.
So, yeah, boy. Who wouldn't like to be like Taylor Finney?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, I'm assuming from your website also there's a link you can download this application to.
Well, there's a link from mybikeinfo.com to iPhone, to iTunes. So all iPhone apps are, of course, are purchased through the App Store. And we've just released version 1.01. which made it backward compatible to the first generation of iPod Touch. We had a little bit of a problem with one of our users in London, and Paul was very gracious. He sent us a problem, and was very patient in the 2 weeks it took us to solve that. We hadn't really thought about first iPod Gen 1, but we're compatible with them now.
Very cool. All right. And your website directly, Prostate Cancer Awareness Project, what's your website?
Yeah, well, we actually have a couple, but the fastest way to find us, Brad, is just to go to 29,000men.org.
That would be the numeral, 29,000?
Yes.
Okay.
The numeric number, then men.org. And that 29,000 men, we're using that because that's roughly the number of guys that die each year from prostate cancer.
Very good. All right. PCAP for short. Anything you want to add, Robert?
No. I guess our last thing is to, just encourage guys, every guy, and if you're a gal and you are the significant other of a guy, 35 or more, make sure that they're taking that PSA test annually and tracking the change. It's not the actual number so much as the change from year over year that's really important. And the magic number is 0.75. So if a PSA number goes up somewhere around 0.75 from 1 year to the next, that's a pretty good indicator that prostate cancer may be present. And if someone gets a reading like that, they should go directly to their physician, okay, and talk with them and do further tests. So, of course, the disclaimer, I'm not a physician and really don't give medical advice. I'm only a prostate cancer survivor, speaking from my personal experience over the past 5 years. So the best thing that that guys can do is just to check that number, look for that change, and if there's anything unusual, go directly to their physician.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Robert, and all of you out there. Get it done. Get it taken care of. All right. So Bike Sport Radio usually concludes with a little bit of advocate advice out there for those of you advocates. This show kind of had a little bit of off-roading on it, mountain biking, cyclocross. So we wanted to not leave you off-road guys out, and we always include you trail work and off-road advocacy. That's very important for you to do out there. And if there's any way that you've got time to get involved with your local advocate group, do it. Our trails are ours. They're a great place to train for off-road, mountain biking, and so on and so forth. One of our beneficiaries coming up for our cyclocross Orange County is the Share Mountain Bike Club. That's sharemtb.com. That's in Orange County. But you can also find a local advocate group, I'm sure, nearby where you are, whether it's Santa Barbara, San Diego, L.A., anywhere out there. Check them out and support your local advocate group and do some trail work. Keep those trails open out there. And when you're on the road, you cyclists and motorists, remember to drive your bike just like you would a car. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time.